Sharon Brown, welcome to the studio. 6 years as a local board representative on Waiheke Island, a representative of our community. Firstly, thank you for 6 years' work on behalf of the island. But you're not going to stand at the coming local body election because 6 years is enough?
Yes, 6 years is a long time.
6 years.
But I've done it.
They say a week is a long time in politics.
Yeah, well, it can be. Yeah.
6 years, eh?
Yes. So, I'm a local board survivor.
So what precipitated the idea that you might not stand? I mean, what was it?
Well, I just think I've done 6 years and I'm still of, you know, working age, and there are other things that maybe I'd like to have a go at doing in my life. I haven't quite worked out what those might be. But
so for you, it's been a pretty full-time job.
Well, I think there are certain projects that you're more interested in and you follow them. I mean, yes, it's full-time, but it's also, I'd say it's probably about 20 hours a week. Sometimes more, but it's flexible around other things that you can do. So it doesn't feel like it's a 9 to 7, you know, it's not every single day. It's just that you're
No, but it takes up half your working week.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
So, it's...
So it can be busy.
Can be pretty full on.
Yeah.
And after 6 years on the board, you've been through two terms. You spent a period as deputy chair in the first period, in the first term that you were on the board. You've had spokesperson roles around. But what's been your main spokesperson role? What have you
been
most
into? Well, it's interesting. I don't know about spokesperson, because that always ends up being in, you know, falling in the morass of the political sphere. I felt in the first term we had more spokesperson's roles on different things that we were interested in and had more of a role in terms of speaking on behalf of community or addressing issues from a personal perspective being on the local board. I feel in the second term it's been a lot more sort of constrained. It feels that we've had a lot more, you know, the chair will speak on behalf of the board and we don't seem to get asked for opinions by the press as much. So I'm not quite sure what that's about.
Well, I know what that's about. I'm going to throw in here that that's about information control, message control, and it's the world of public relations today that's influencing the communication between the powerful and the community.
Well, absolutely. And I'd say every year I see, you know, the council becoming a bit more managerial, a bit less. Yeah, there's more of a power tussle every time. And I think those things depend on the chair, the council generally, and how they behave in terms of how those power plays come out. Mm. And I don't know if you know, but I'm doing a PhD in local government. So
yes,
one of the things I've looked at is, well, it focuses on the experience of local board members, and the things that are key are interaction with the system and the role of the chair in being able to both manage, encourage and facilitate information and the movement of information.
So is your PhD is on particularly as a local board member or any local government role?
No, it's focusing on Auckland Council and the role of the unitary authority and local board member experiences within that.
Okay.
Because they sort of, they can operate as little fiefdoms of five, which is, I think, different to the other councils and the governing body level of councillors, which is, you know, between 13 and 18 or 20 across the country. Yeah. So I think it's a really different model of governance.
Yeah.
And I think in comparison to community boards, we've got... you know, a pot of money that we can use. So
local boards are more empowered than community boards?
They are more empowered, but what's being worked through is what our decision-making responsibilities are.
Now, Waiheke is a bit of a test case in this area. Is that still ongoing? There was an idea that Waiheke would pilot a project which returned more decision-making capacity to a community level.
Yes. So we're halfway through a pilot. We just had the pilot feedback on Thursday, and I think that report will be released, I think, sometime before the election, and that's just focusing on what the successes have been. There's been some discussion around whether we could have an Auckland Transport Operations Manager in that role. As a result of that, we've probably had the things like the Memorandum of Understanding, the 10-year transport plan.
And that's so under consultation now, isn't it, the transport plan?
Yes, that's
plan.
Right.
So
I think to the end of this week.
It finishes this week?
I think so.
So if you're... interested, concerned and passionate about transport on the island, as we probably should be, you've only got a few days, or check it out anyway, to see how long you have to submit on the Waiheke Transport Plan. It's a 10-year plan. Now's your chance. So, Sharon, we're talking about power and stuff. What's your experience of where the power imbalances in council lie, if there are any? Or should I say there's a long-held view that the balance is held quietly by the officers and not enough by the elected representatives? Mm. What you can tell us about that is what you can tell us about that, obviously. Yeah. But I just wondered.
I mean, I guess my concerns around council are that things become a little bit more managerial every time, and there is a bit of a change I've noticed in 2016 in relation to 2013. And when you have a new board coming in, you can set a whole bunch of parameters that weren't there before. Mm. So I feel sometimes like we're a bit like Luke Skywalker in the waste disposal machine. I don't know if you remember that scene with the walls kind of closing
yes,
in.
Yes, I do actually.
And I just feel that every 3 years, it just ratchets up and notches us a little bit closer.
You find yourself reaching for your lightsaber.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what was it on Thursday? There are a couple of things of concern. Oh, we had a confidential report that was the annual budget that was discussed confidentially because it has a financial report that apparently cannot be released to the Auditor General. And at least as a board, we pushed back on that and said, well, you know, we're not entirely sure why all of this report has to be confidential. And, you know, in any case, our financial profile is so petty, you know, why can't that be released? Mm. But it's also in other things, like we were also told that, you know, Auckland Transport couldn't release the terms of reference to us on a particular issue because board members, you know, because it was commercially sensitive. And, you know, a couple of us were just like, well, hang on a minute, we are the local board. That's what we're hired for, to be able to have those privileges, but also to protect them. So I think I just feel in terms of my role, it used to be the case that, for example, I remember when the when adult learning was, when there was consideration about whether it would become an art gallery space or another kind of space, I went round and saw a whole bunch of different spaces with another board member, and we discussed, and with the officers, and we discussed what that would look like. This time it's like with the youth centre, it's a bit more like someone else will go and look at that and you know, have some consideration. So it feels like there's a distance between, it feels like it's much more we set the intention and someone else will deal with it.
Yep.
And it's been the same with portfolios. So, for example, we used to have portfolios. And yes, you could argue that, you know, you might have a particular board member, you know, whittling away information and keeping it to themselves. But in general, it meant that you could follow projects. Yeah. Whereas now it's just a sort of a, just a bit of group think, and we set the general direction, but we don't really have that much say over the specifics, which I think is kind of a...
despite this pilot to increase the decision-making power of the local board.
Yeah, because I think they're operating in slightly different spaces.
Yeah.
Having said that, I'd say the organisation as a whole is a lot more responsive, and especially in particular areas like community facilities, and they're really coming and telling us what they're doing, and you know, making some really great improvements in terms of, you know, beach ramps at Onitangi or the basketball court at... the basketball pad at Surfdale, you know, so we're just seeing some really great, and we've had some amazing input from officers around the skate park concept. It really feels that they've responded to the community, really tried to engage young people, and
well,
what
that's
that
quite
look
different
like
from the original skate park proposal, which took us about 40 years to get one.
Yeah. So I think it's that thing of, it's a bit like a machine. So some things work better, some things work less well.
Yeah.
I guess my concern is it just in terms of that general demographic, you know, the profile of democracy and how that works, whether in areas where it's important, suddenly that role is being minimised in terms of how far you can interact to move things forward. And I think as local board members who live locally, we often have a lot of local knowledge.
Well,
so
that's
if you
why
spoke
we
to
elect
us,
you there.
We'd be able to tell you that something would or wouldn't work.
It always used to be just, you know, ask the board or ask Ron, or there was more local focus in the past. But anyway, after 6 years, what will you look most fondly back on? What do you feel that, not you necessarily individually, but you as a member of two boards now, what are you most proud of? What have that you guys have achieved?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what's been quite good has been for the community is being the sustainability centre.
Yeah, kia ora.
And actually that is part of a pattern of activity which has seen underused halls and spaces turned over to community.
Yeah. So we've had rather amazing, than lose them.
Well, rather than lose them, that was always a risk.
Yeah.
But also just so that people can, you know, the real difference for community to be able to do things, whether that's an arts event or have a meeting, is to have some sort of free space.
Yeah.
And so I think adult learning and the Sustainability Centre have been just two great examples of spaces which have had a maximum amount of use for the benefit
Waiheke
of
Radio?
Community. And Waiheke Radio is used a lot as well.
Yeah.
And I think that was actually under the previous thing.
When you say community space,
yeah.
There's a lot of energy for radio on the island, but all it needed was a space, and it's had one, and the trust's been wonderful, and the people who run Waiheke Radio have been great, and so it's worked.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
But without the space, we wouldn't be here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I think we have two spaces that we've just turned over, so that's the Youth Centre and the Ostend Hall has gone to the RSA.
To be managed by the RSA.
Yeah. And Surfdale Hall is being managed by the Youth Centre. So it's both a hall for hire, but it's got a focus on youth.
Yeah. Which is really great.
Yeah.
And what's been most frustrating? Probably.
Well, I'd say the transport area has been really frustrating because in the first 3 years we did get some transport projects up and running. This time, Mātiatia has been our one local initiative, and it ends up being stuck in business cases, iwi discussions, and we're not seeing any progress either in terms of the cycleway or the footpath up to the car park, which is, honestly a disgrace. The number of people using the Ofunaki car park and the footpath going up there is the size of a postage stamp.
Whereas above the Ofunaki car park, it's really, really wide.
Yeah.
And is meant to encourage bikes onto the footpath. You'd like to see that broader footpath taken all the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And cycle facilities coming out of the ferry. So with the change in national government, we're seeing a much, much more interest in multimodality and multimodal modes of transport.
Yeah.
So cycling and
walking.
And
integration of transport.
And we've also had the amazing successes with the new bus routes will be great.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of roading, we just haven't had that much progress because all our attention has been on Mātiatia. There hasn't been money in the pot for other projects. I think finally at this week's meeting, we're getting a little bit of an upgrade on the western side of the causeway going into Shelley Beach Road. So that's being upgraded for cycling and walking. So that's, some progress, but it's been 3 years and we haven't seen anything really.
What does, because Mātiatia is part of the board's expanded responsibilities, right? You chose Mātiatia as the test project?
Yes. So what happened with Mātiatia is we wrestled that building, Harbour Masters, out of the clutches of Panuku. And I have to say that Panuku's mandate is to manage property to raise money. So their basic premise is let's sell some to make more money.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I think has been really disappointing is that they've, had control over that building for a number of years and not maintained it at all, which I think is a real shame.
That's just sort of taking it to a place where all we can do is sell it or get rid of it or...
Yeah, well, we've now got it back into Auckland Council, authority, and that's really good because now we can start thinking about using it, renting it, so I think there's an EOI process that's either opening shortly for the use of that building.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
What advice would you have for other people standing? I mean, there's always the idea bandied around that a lot of people want to get on the local board because they want to make a difference and they're passionate and they think they don't understand why it hasn't already been done. And then they become a board member and realize the systemic restrictions on what they can do. Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, I think so. But I also think we need hope. You know, so there's no point going in if you think that nothing can be done. And I think it's a really poor attitude to go in saying, I'm going to show Auckland Council what's what. And, you know, one of the things that made me a little bit sad at one of the events I went to is that the issues that were raised by the community about what was problematical continues to be problematical. And it's not that we didn't address it, it's that these issues are wicked problems, you know, they're quite intractable. But at the same time, one of my messages to Auckland Council around the pilot is we need to understand and we need to prevail upon the mechanisms for funding. Because, for example, if you take something like the toilets in Oniroa that people have talked about for at least the last 9 years, if not longer, the issue is that there is not only is there no funding to fix the toilets, but there is no mechanism by which we can get the funding because our money is rates based and we don't have a population base which will support the building of the toilets. So what we need is for somewhere in the system
millions of visitors.
We need somewhere to say that we get millions of visitors, a lot of them Aucklanders, and therefore we need to have a special fund where we can access to address that. Or we need to be able to access the provincial growth fund, which we also can't do because we're told that that's for the provinces, not Auckland Council.
So we get caught in the middle here we're constantly told by the mainland that, oh, we subsidise you, stop grizzling. And then, you know, we find that when it comes to actually some money, they say you don't have the population base. Well, that's the time you should subsidise us, particularly when half our services are used by visitors anyway.
Yeah.
Could talk about this all day, but we're actually running out of time. A final message for ratepayers, voters, islanders, the community. Not a final message, of course, but you know what I mean.
Look, I think about the candidates when you vote. You know, think about people who are going to have a positive attitude to work with Auckland Council to get the best gains, but who also have a heart and are willing to put the hours in and listen to each other to get good gains. I mean, I think it's the kind of role that attracts ego and big personalities. And we really need to be thinking about, you know, sometimes the person with the biggest personality isn't the one who's the best person to get things over the line. That's the first thing. And then secondly, I think, you know, it would be great. We worked a lot on our housing initiatives. We developed a report which showed the housing needs on a continuum. We've got things from emergency accommodation, older persons accommodation,
that's been a big
supporting
change, hasn't it?
You know, houses that are crumbling so they can get ACC funding. And I think it would be really great to continue the good gains and look for initiatives we can support in that space.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, congratulations on 6 years of hard work and everything you've achieved on behalf of the island and on behalf of Waiheke Radio listeners. Thank you very much for everything you've put into the island. We'll see you around the island, of course. She's not going anywhere.
Yes, I'm not going anywhere.
Not going anywhere. And we'll be involved in island organisations and various initiatives, I'm sure, for many, many years to come. But in terms of the local board, for the moment anyway, that's it for Sharon Brown and